Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory and forever and ever. Amen. Our text for today comes from the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, beginning with verse 1 as follows. And Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Here ends our text. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the name which is above every name, and the name at which every knee will one day bow, dear fellow redeemed. 8 years ago, in May of 2003, former President George W. Bush appeared on the U.S. aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln under a banner that read, Mission Accomplished. In his speech, he congratulated American service members for their role in defeating the armed forces of Iraq. Years later, though, the president said that he regretted standing under that banner because it gave people the impression that he thought the war was over. Of course, as we now know, the war was not over. It was only beginning. In fact, rather than being a mission accomplished, that's a mission that has yet to be accomplished right down to this day. Don't count your chickens before they're hatched is a wise old saying. But in our text for today, we hear Jesus, the day before his crucifixion, speaking of his mission on earth as if it were already accomplished. That's because for him, it was. It was as good as done. There was no doubt for him about the outcome of the coming battle. He speaks of his coming ascension and glorification at the right hand of God, as if it were a completed fact. And that's a comfort, isn't it? Because your life is often filled with uncertainties. You have unanswered questions in your life, issues that you don't yet see the outcome for. How good it is to know that everything in your life lies in the capable hands of your ascended Lord Jesus, who at this moment is sitting with all power on the majestic right hand of God the Father in heaven. Our theme today, ascension means mission accomplished. Christ's glorification at the right hand of God shows us three things. It shows us that his work is complete, that his authority is absolute, and that his focus now is on gathering the elect. Last Thursday, as you may or may not know, was Ascension Day. And Ascension has always been an important milestone for the Christian church. By many accounts, Ascension Day was celebrated in the early church before even Christmas was celebrated. Our congregation is called Ascension Lutheran Church. Why is Christ's ascension so important? One reason is that with his resurrection from the dead and his return into glory in heaven, Jesus demonstrated that his work was complete. That's the first reason why ascension means mission accomplished. Our text for today gives us kind of a unique opportunity, the opportunity to listen in on a prayer that Jesus offered to his heavenly Father. The prayer in its entirety is given in this 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. It's very often referred to as his high priestly prayer. It was a long prayer. And he spoke it out loud, which is interesting. Certainly Jesus could have prayed silently and been just as effective and been heard by his heavenly Father, but he didn't do that. He meant to be overheard by his disciples and by us. So he spoke the words out loud. Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. The hour of Jesus' supreme trial had arrived. The hour that would crown a lifetime's achievement on behalf of lost sinners was now at hand. Surprisingly, he speaks of it as a fait accompli, as if it were already a mission accomplished. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. Jesus was on his way back to heaven, to glory. He in whom dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily had for a time laid aside the full use of his powers as God. During this state of humiliation, he emptied himself of these powers. But now the hour had come for him to be glorified. He would be glorified first by his sacrificial death on behalf of sinners there on Calvary. His glory would increase when he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday, triumphant, and his glorification would be majestically completed with his ascension into heaven. He would return to his native land and take up his rightful place at the majestic right hand of his heavenly Father. Jesus' work was complete. You know how good it feels, don't you, when you complete a job with all the details wrapped up so that nothing remains to be done. It seldom happens that way, unfortunately. For instance, I'd like to think that we were done with our parking lot project that was going on for so long, but I'm still not sure it's over. The county hasn't signed off on it yet. And that's the problem, isn't it? We human beings so often leave the job unfinished, even we Christians. We get up in the morning with the best intentions of the world. We intend to serve God. We intend to let our light shine. We intend to think and speak and behave as children of God ought to think and speak and behave. And what happens? We get to the end of the day, and it's another miserable failure. Another 24 hours stained with sin and shame and shortcoming. Mission most definitely not accomplished. The writer of the 53rd Psalm pretty much nails it. God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. Well, it's a good thing somebody got it right, because none of us have, that's for sure. In contrast to us, our Lord Jesus' mission was successfully completed. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Jesus' ascension was proof, because if his mission hadn't been accomplished, if there remained even a single sin yet to be atoned for, then Jesus could never have risen from the dead, could never have ascended to heaven, to his heavenly Father. Jesus' body would still be a pile of dust and bones in some lost grave somewhere in Palestine. But that tomb the first Easter morning was empty. His work was complete. Jesus says so in the key verse in our text, verse 4. Father, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Jesus says, I have finished. And the word there in the original is very forceful, like the slamming of a door. It indicates something that is a completed fact in the past that has abiding results for the future. On the eve of his crucifixion, Jesus already speaks of a mission accomplished, of a perfect life offered up for sinners like us with very imperfect lives, of an innocent death that would atone for sinners like us who are anything but innocent, of a redemption achieved in the past with abiding results for the future, results that reach right down into 2011, right into your life and my life. As Paul put it, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Here's another reason why ascension means mission accomplished. Because Christ's glorification at the right hand of God shows that his authority is now absolute. Jesus says, Father, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. even as you has given him authority over all flesh. Why is the ascension so important? Why do Christians celebrate it and name their churches after it? Because Christ's glorification means that he now has absolute authority. And you know, we don't really think about that very often, do we? Certainly we think of Jesus as having absolute rule in the kingdom of heaven. And we sometimes think of him as ruling supremely over our lives as Christians and being the head of the church. But you know, the Bible says much more than that. In Matthew 28, Jesus says, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth." Christ rules everything, including everything that's happening around us now in 2011. Christ has authority over everyone, believers and unbelievers alike. Most of the people in our world don't understand that, of course, or don't acknowledge it, but that doesn't make it any less true. The day is coming very soon when everyone will acknowledge Jesus as Lord, the vast majority to their eternal sorrow. Paul says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. But again, what a comfort our Savior's resurrection is for us Christians. Our glorified Savior has authority over all flesh. That covers pretty much every situation in your life. Do you have loved ones whom you are concerned about? Have no fear. Jesus has authority over all flesh. He will resolve your concerns. Do you have enemies who are persecuting you and tearing down your reputation and speaking behind your back? Don't worry about that. Jesus has authority over all flesh. He'll protect you, and those people will get what's coming to them. Don't worry about it. Are you a parent who has concerns about a child? Set your heart at ease, for Jesus has authority over all flesh, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. His will is going to be done in your life and the life of your loved ones. There is no aspect of your life over which your ascended Savior is not exercising absolute authority. This truth has been a tremendous comfort for believers down through the ages. Famous 17th century theologian Philip Spener requested that this 17th chapter of John, the high priestly prayer, be read to him on his deathbed. And then he asked that it be read again, and they actually read it to him 6 times in a row. And it's no wonder, for this passage assures the dying sinner that Christ has authority over everything, even death. Finally, there's one more reason why ascension means mission accomplished. Because Christ's glorification on the right hand of God shows that all his focus now is on gathering in the elect. You have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. With his ascension into heaven, Jesus now has authority over all flesh. And how does he exercise that authority? In many ways, obviously, but chief among his tasks is the distribution of eternal life. Who does he give it to? Our text tells us, to as many as you, God the Father, have given him. If you are a poor sinner in despair of your many sins, this is great comfort for you. For it assures you that God called you in Christ before the foundation of the world, long before you were even born. God in his grace gave you to his Son. You are his by eternal election. And Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." By the way, this passage also gives the lie to a popular teaching known as decision theology. Despite what evangelical preachers may proclaim, the unconverted sinner has no power to decide for Christ or to turn his life over to Jesus. Before you came to faith, the Bible says, you were dead in trespasses and sins. Mission accomplished doesn't mean that you accomplished the mission. It means Christ accomplished the mission for you. Or in the words of that familiar hymn, Lord, 'tis not that I did choose thee, that I know could never be. For this heart would still refuse thee had thy grace not chosen me. But in Christ it is, a mission accomplished. Our glorified Savior's whole focus now is on gathering the elect to eternal salvation. And what is eternal life? Our text gives us the perfect definition. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. To know the only true God, to forsake all the idols and false gods of this evil world and cling only to Christ, thereby is eternal life bestowed upon us, even as we live in the midst of this wicked world. In fact, that was Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. At the beginning, I mentioned President Bush's mission accomplished speech. The date of that speech was May 1st, 2003. Can anyone tell me what happened 1 month later, on June 8th, 2003? On that day, we here at Ascension Lutheran Church celebrated the dedication of our new church building. Even then, however, we knew that our mission was not complete. In fact, our mission was just beginning, the mission of reaching out with the gospel to people here in the South Puget Sound area that do not yet know Christ as their Savior. No, our mission may not be complete, but Jesus' mission is. His glorification at the right hand of God shows that he has all authority, that his work is complete, and that his focus now is on the blessed task of gathering in the elect. What a comfort for us to know that Christ's ascension truly does mean mission accomplished. Amen. Please rise.